This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. To all our viewers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we welcome you once again to this session of the Quran and its people, where we are extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to spend some precious moments and some quality time with some of the scholars, teachers and reciters of the Holy Quran, to learn more about them and to learn inshallah from them. This initiative is a collaboration between the South African National Zakah Fund, SANZAF, and the Department of Quranic Affairs, the DQA, under the auspices of the Muslim Judicial Council, SA. And alhamdulillah, I'm extremely happy to welcome our guest of the day. He's a unique gentleman who does not need any introduction, and he's a man in front of whom I grew up. I grew up in front of this gentleman. It's none other than Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriels. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Ismail. It's a great honor and a privilege for me to be here, and especially when a topic is around the Quran.
Alhamdulillah. The honor is all our Sheikh. That Sheikh has afforded us of Sheikh's time and given us an opportunity to engage with Sheikh. I pray that the session be of great benefit to all who listen, and that it inspires even at least one individual to draw even closer to the Book of Allah.
Ameen.
Sheikh, for those who may not be familiar or aware, if Sheikh would oblige the viewers to briefly introduce Sheikh self.
MashaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So my name is Ibrahim and my surname is Gabriels, and the name of my honorable fathers Haji Muhammad Qasim, and the name of my beloved and honorable mothers Haji Halima. May Allah grant both of them and all our parents Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen Rabbil Alameen.
And I was born in Claremont in Wesley Street in 1955.
MashaAllah.
And according to my ID, I'm born the 7th of December 1955.
Is it?
But my actual birth date is 28th of July. So my father went to register me a bit late.
Oh, okay.
Nevertheless, alhamdulillah, Claremont was such a beautiful community. A wonderful community. It's a pity of the Group Areas Act that we had to move or be forcibly removed from Claremont to a place called Primrose Park Extension 17.
Okay.
That is between Surrey Street and Manenberg.
Okay.
So you have the big Primrose Park.
Yes.
But between Aris Road, Surrey Street, and Manenberg, they built houses there, and they call it Primrose Park Extension 17. But it's actually Surrey Street.
Okay.
So So my first learning in Claremont, my uncle, Imam Hassan Abdul Rahman, he was Hafiz al-Quran. So we were exposed to Tarawih, full Tarawih.
Wow.
Yeah, in Ramadan. So sometimes I was a bit naughty. Then I go to the Lansen Road to hike to Stegman Road, because Stegman Road didn't read the whole Quran. I also met Imam Abdullah Harun rahmatullah alayhi in Stegman Road. Yeah, so and Imam Hassan Abdul Rahman's father, it is said by Sheikh Nawawi
van der Ross,
rahmatullah alayhi, that one particular night, Imam Hassan's father was late, and at that time they were reading was the whole Quran. So they said to him, "Ya Ustaz, you came late and there's 4 inches left. The 4 inches
it's
all yours." They said he put the cushion between his two legs and he started to read the 14 juz. Masha'Allah. It was there, subhanAllah.
Was that at Harvey Road?
Harvey Road.
So shukran for that brief intro, Sheikh, yeah, regarding Sheikh's upbringing. But now Sheikh mentioned Claremont,
yeah,
and then Sheikh mentioned the Aris Road side to Saudi Estate, the extension 17. At what age did Sheikh and the family, or how old was Sheikh when the Sheikh and the family moved to that extension?
Was 16 years old.
16, okay.
Yeah,
so
but before moving to Promise Park, I think it's important to mention that at the time when I was a young boy, for example, between 18 and 16, 14 years old, it was very difficult to learn how to read the Quran.
Allah.
I couldn't grasp that, for example, Alif do wa detas an Alif do abawa in Alif an in un. I couldn't. So my beloved uncle is my father's only brother, Ami Yusuf, that I love, mashallah, dearly. So my Ami Yusuf went to Abu Tasad Abrams here in Home Estate. Tasad Abrams used to stay in Makkah, and he was in Makkah the same time with Sheikh Nazim and these mashayikh.
Mashallah.
But he lived with his family. So when he came back to Cape Town, he had a class for certain people. My uncle was one of those people.
Students in the class.
So he taught them the Yassarn al-Quran.
Okay.
And at that time we call it the big surah.
Okay.
You know. And so my uncle taught me, you know, how to read the Quran. Mashallah. Myself, Sheikh Abu Bakr, all my brothers.
MashaAllah.
And I'm so indebted to my uncle. Mashallah. I would never forget him, subhanAllah, Mashallah, because he's my first teacher.
MashaAllah.
And I always say that whatever I know now is because of my uncle that taught me how to read the Quran. Mashallah.
That's Ami Yusuf.
Ami Yusuf.
So before 16 years old and before the move out to Extension 17, this all happened in Claremont.
It all happened in Claremont, yeah.
There were classes, but they were ayaring, they were alif, duwa, detas, etc. And it so happened that Sheikh's father, Haji Muhammad Qasim al-Marhum, his brother Ami Yusuf, learned by this gentleman, Saad, studied in Makkah with Sheikh Nazim and them, and he came back and taught the Yassan al-Quran.
That's right.
Allah's decree, alhamdulillah.
SubhanAllah. Yeah.
So that was at a young age, Sheikh, learned by Sheikh's one and only paternal uncle.
That's right.
Sheikh mentioned Imam Hassan Abdul Rahman. I never heard his name before.
Yeah.
So he was completely Hafiz.
He was complete Hafiz.
He did the complete Taraweeh at Harvey Road.
At Harvey Road, full Quran.
And but Sheikh also mentioned that he's related to Sheikh.
Yeah, he's my mother's first cousin.
Mother's side, or the mother's first cousin.
Mother's first cousin. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's one of the benefits of these sessions is not to keep these names alive, but to mention these people and to mention of their contribution, and at least to make one dua, Allah increases the nur in the qubur, and to record this for the generations that are currently learning Quran, that have exposure to so much in the world, but they lack exposure to their own history.
SubhanAllah.
It's the idea. Yeah. So look at this gentleman. Yeah. And then when Anavavi van der Rossi, when he came late the one night, they told him, no, you just 14 Jews is Yona.
That's right, yeah. And sometimes for as young children, we in Ramadan, for Fajr Salah, there were some mornings that we had a long Fajr Salah. Because,
Allah,
you know, Hassan, if you had made the mistake last night with the Taraweeh, you would read the Makra again.
Allahu Akbar.
The two Makras.
He sounded like he was a perfectionist.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, subhanAllah.
So I take it in, Allah irhamu. Yeah. I take it in the Wesley Street in Claremont is on the Harvey Road side of Claremont.
Yeah,
that
no,
side?
So after Wesley Street, closer? We moved to Durham Street.
But I mean, it's closer to Harvey than what it is to Stichman.
That's right, yeah.
Closer,
yeah.
I don't know the...
So that's why that Claremont was called Second Avenue Claremont.
Okay.
Or they call it the Fluck.
The Fluck, okay.
So there was a Claremont, the side of Stichman Road and Main Road Masjid. And then we were at the Fluck, at the Second Avenue Claremont, yeah. Near to Livingston.
I know where Livingston is, okay.
Yeah.
Man. Livingston, and Harvey is just behind Livingston.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So we touched on a few things already, alhamdulillah. Sheikh mentioned Sheikh was born in 1955.
That's right. Yeah.
And the issue of the date of birth, it's intriguing. That's how the authorities were back
That's
then
right,
and how things were accepted. But as Muhammad Qasim,
Ami
Yusuf and all.
Yeah, the madrasa was at the Masjid Harvey Road.
Harvey Road.
Yeah.
He taught there?
No, that was private at our house.
Oh,
my
but,
uncle stayed
but the,
with us.
But the madrasa at Harvey Road was the one where they were teaching Alif Dua Detas.
That's right, yeah.
Ah.
And there we learn our fiqh and...
Kopless.
I still can remember the tashahud. I still remember from Harvey Road Masjid, التحيات المباركات الصلوات I remember up till now.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
How it was repeated and
that's right,
taught
yeah.
there.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing what gets engraved from the young age.
That's right.
And Sheikh is speaking about the ages of 6, 7, 8 around that time already, the madrasa.
That's right. Yeah, from an early age. Yeah.
And where Ami Yusuf, where he taught their son the Quran, it was privately at home
private
for the family.
Privately. So he was working.
Okay.
So after work, he would teach us at home. Yeah. Subhanallah.
Tayyib Sheikh. Mm. So now, Sheikh has completed primary, Sheikh is in high school, and there the group areas act, and the whole family has to move out, and it's there to a new area.
Yeah.
But it's there on that side of Sari Estate.
That's right. Close to the masjid.
Close to the masjid.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the 70, just 70, late 60s, early 70s?
Yeah. It's late 60s, late early 60s. 70s.
She's about 14, 15 years old, 16,
right,
16, yes.
Yeah.
I was
still at high school.
So the high
when
school
we were forcibly removed.
And the high school had to change. She had to go to a different high school that side.
No, so we travel every day from
that
Thomas
side.
Park to Oakland's high school.
Allahu Akbar.
Oakland's high school, yeah. My we were close to Livingston High.
Right.
But because my father knew that there are some atheist teachers at Livingston.
Okay.
So he thought, no, it's better for you to go to Oaklands.
Yes, Allah.
So
that was a deciding factor.
Yeah.
Why Oaklands?
Oaklands, yeah. Oaklands High School, yeah.
And that speaks of his passion for deen first. It was academic studies.
Yeah.
But your iman mustn't be at risk
That's
there.
Right, yeah. That's right.
So then Sheikh would travel and the siblings, all from Promise Park
Promise
to
Oaklands.
To
Oaklands, yeah.
But I wanted to come to Sari Estate in particular. I can't remember, Sheikh, meeting Imam Ismail Johnstone.
Yeah.
Allah arhamu. But I met his sons and his family, other children. And they have a beautiful, obviously, a manner about them.
Yeah.
And I've been told that, my father even told me, that you see their father in them.
Yeah.
And I heard he was a man that was a passion for deen.
Yes.
And there are certain things that our Muslim community back then may have regarded as acceptable, that he was strong and firm about. For example, how certain ladies maybe wore their scarves
or
the links of their dresses.
Right.
From that time already,
that's
speaking of the 60s, he would speak about and they must cover themselves better, etc. And he was known for his Arabic.
Yes.
But now Sheikh moved, the family moved to that side of Saudi Estate. Was he Imam at the Masjid at that time already?
At that time he was the Imam. So what happened, Sheikh, at that time, so when people were forcibly removed, they would come all the way from Promise Park to Claremont for Jumu'ah.
Okay.
Yeah. So for example, people that went to Mitchell's Plain, they would still come to the Azawiya or they come to Sheikh Shakir's Masjid, the Aspling Street.
Because they're Muriks of the
That's
Masjid.
Right, yeah. So one day my father, because he's a tailor, he was running late.
Okay.
So he couldn't make it for Claremont. So he went to Sari Estate Masjid for Jumu'ah. And the rest is history. He thought, but subhanallah, look at this man.
MashaAllah.
Look at the lessons that you learn. So MashaAllah. From that moment onwards, all of us, we attended Sari Estate Mosque. Subhanallah.
Okay.
And then we came to learn who Imam Ismail is. And we went there, tafsir class, every Saturday night. And the reason why Imam had it on a Saturday night is because at that time there was a thing called a Saturday night fever. You must go out and you must, you know, you must just enjoy you on a Saturday night. So Imam's motivation was, if you are serious about learning the tafsir of the Quran,
Allah.
You would sacrifice your Saturday night.
Allahu Akbar.
People that are serious and sincere, they would come. Subhanallah. So Imam had people from all over. Mashallah. Imam Shafiq Jacobs.
Yes.
And Dr. Yusuf Lalkan.
Mashallah.
And so many others from Salt River, They would travel every Saturday night.
Saturday night.
And then, of course, Imam had his Arabic classes at his house, you know. Imam had too many classes, had afternoon classes, adult classes every day, you know, and that might have led to his brain hemorrhage, unfortunately.
Is it?
Yeah, that might have led, because Imam was so busy. And just to go a bit back to Imam's student days, he left school when he was in grade 5 or grade 6 primary school. He became a plasterer, and then his aunt, Auntie Mamuna Rahmatullah Ali, her husband, Buta Ahmad, said to him, Ismail, why don't you go study Nahu? So the first time he heard about Nahu. And alhamdulillah, Allah granted him one of the greatest ustaz, Sheikh Ismail Hanif.
Masha Edwards. Allah, Edwards, wow.
So Imam would come from Kenwin, which is called, that time it was called Samboklan.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And then he would stand at the bus stop. They say that the lady opposite that saw him almost every night, she became jealous for Imam Ismail's girlfriend, because she thought that he's going to a girlfriend, because he was dressed like, he was dressed like, you know, a person going to a wedding, for example.
Wow.
Every time. Because that was his approach to knowledge.
Allahu Akbar.
And I think that's an important lesson for young people to know. And because that was his approach, he says for 2 years he didn't understand whatever Sheikh Ismail is saying. And one day when he was on the site, on the building, plastering, Allah opened up everything.
Allahu Akbar.
And he was writing fa'ala, yaf'alu, everything while he's busy plastering. Subhanallah. And that's amazing, subhanAllah. And he became one of the best Arabic teachers.
Masha'Allah.
He didn't go to Cairo or to Medina or outside. He learned Arabic here. And I think that should be a great motivation for everybody.
Definitely.
That Imam, he was a master in teaching Arabic.
Masha'Allah.
And whenever he taught, or whenever he was teaching, while he was teaching in front, he's making dua, oh Allah grant my students
Allahu
to have a better understanding than me.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, that was Imam Ismail, subhanAllah. Yeah, so we became very close to Imam Ismail. And maybe a secret that I can tell. So while we were doing hifz, maybe Sheikh is coming later to that. I would first go to Imam had a liking in me.
MashaAllah.
SubhanAllah. So before we go to the hifz class by Sheikh Hanif Moers, I would pop in by Imam. And so that morning Imam said to me in his lounge, Ibrahim, I dreamt of you last night.
As-salam.
That you are memorizing Surah At-Tur.
And
I was memorizing Surah At-Tur.
And he had no idea before that.
Yeah.
Yes, he,
I was almost preparing my lesson. And yes, he was most probably hearing that I'm reading Surah At-Tur.
Yes,
he said, I dreamt of you last night that you are memorizing Surah At-Tur. SubhanAllah.
Other link.
SubhanAllah.
I was going to ask Sheikh if Sheikh knew of where Imam Ismail Johnstone learnt, and then Sheikh mentioned Sheikh Ismail Hanif Edwards. But it speaks of his dedication, and Sheikh's about his manner of presenting himself also to learn deen. Wearing his best, etc., making effort, and he was he was a construction worker.
A construction worker, and Sheikh Ismail would tell his family. The class started at 8 o'clock. He would tell his family, if I open the door now, Ismail will stand out there.
Sheikh Ismail Hanif Edwards used to say.
Say to his family,
that if I open
my door now, Ismail
Johnstone is ready.
He will be waiting to come
Yes,
in. And Imam Ismail, after class, if he didn't understand, he would walk from Woodstock all the way. He won't take the bus unless he understands the lesson. And sometimes he don't grasp it. He would walk from Woodstock to Kenwin, to Samboklan.
Ya Allah, trying to work through the information.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Dedication.
And it all bore fruits. It showed its benefits in later years when he himself taught.
That's right.
And his manner of teaching and how so many benefited from him.
Yeah, and look at the benefit that Allah has granted him, his understanding of Arabic. He could, tafsir the Quran every Saturday night. Saturday night, Imam would, in his front room, all the tafsir of Qurtubi and, Zamakhshari.
Allah.
His whole lounge be full of preparing for tonight.
Yes,
Allah. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So we really benefited a lot from Imam Ismail, alhamdulillah.
Oh, that's amazing. In that period, Sheikh is now a young adult growing up. Sheikh matriculates and Sheikh is continuing to study by him, but Sheikh meets colleagues, and Sheikh met Sheikh Hanif Moers also there.
Sheikh Hanif Mus used to attend also the tafsir class.
Okay.
Yeah, on a Saturday night. So Imam then asked him if he can teach Imam's children Hifz al-Quran part-time.
MashaAllah.
And there is where my journey started, where the Hifz is concerned.
Okay.
So MashaAllah. Every Saturday afternoon, we would travel from Imam's house to Weinberg in Garden Road, where Sheikh Hanif still lives.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah. And I would say the little tajweed that I know is the barakah of Sheikh Hanif Mus.
MashaAllah.
Sheikh Hanif Mus is an excellent teacher, subhanAllah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, so alhamdulillah, so it just shows, and I think it's good that we have this program, Sheikh, because maybe some teachers can also realize what a part-time class can do also for the community. I'm a product from a part-time class on a Saturday afternoon, you understand? And that was a motivation for me, so I also work for Norwich Union.
Sheikh was working at the time.
I was working at the time, yeah.
And this is now Saturday afternoons with the Hifz,
yeah.
And Saturday evenings with the Tafsir.
That's right, yeah.
What company Sheikh was working
for? Norwich Union Insurance.
Norwich Union Insurance.
And so in the Tafsir class, Imam did the ayat of river.
Ah, interest.
Yeah, so interest money, yeah. So I didn't realize, but without Imam telling me, leave this job. He didn't tell me. So I decided on my own, I'm not going to work for a company that deals with river and interest.
Yes,
you understand? And then I started to do full-time hifz with Sheikh Hanif.
Wow, mashallah.
Yeah, full-time hifz, yeah, alhamdulillah.
But before we continue, Sheikh,
yeah.
Sheikh mentioned something before our interaction, yeah. Here of a particular system or method that Sheikh Ismail Johnstone used to use even when teaching the basics of Arabic letters in the alphabet.
Yeah, so Imam Ismail was very eager that especially adults should be able to read the Quran.
Okay.
He used to say, in this day and age, when people have gone to the moon, how can it be possible that Muslims can't read the Quran?
Allah, Allah.
So he was very eager to teach adults.
Masha.
There were enough madrasa classes for children.
Okay.
So Imam had a special system how he taught how to read the Quran. So he, for example, would teach, his first lesson would be three letters of the Arabic alphabet. It will be seen, ta and ra. So you would, and then you would write like he would teach you. If you give the letter on the board, but he teach you how to write also.
Ah.
So you must come with a book and a pencil,
right. Okay.
And a rubber. He says if you make a mistake, you can erase it. Yeah. So then he would, for example, the scene. He wouldn't make the scene like we make the scene like quickly.
Okay.
He would like one line like this. A straight line, straight line, straight line, because everybody can make a straight line.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is
your start. Give them some confidence.
Yeah. With a ta also, with a ta, a straight line like this, straight line, straight line. There's a ta, two dots.
Tamam.
You know, and then of the ra also, yeah. And then at the same time, the same evening, the first night, Imam will give and tell you that there are three sounds in the Arabic language. It's the a, and the I, and the u. Yeah. And he makes an occasion of it.
He used to enjoy himself when teaching?
That's right, yeah. No, he was a brilliant teacher, subhanAllah.
And then he would add the vowels.
Then the vowels, so a sin with a A is sa.
Ah.
Repeat it every time. A ta with a A is ta. Mm-hmm. A ra with a A is ra.
Tamam.
So it's the words is sa ta ra. Everybody must now say in the class, say after me, sa ta ra.
MashaAllah.
Sa ta ra. And then he will come with a hadith.
Allah, Allah.
So it's a spiritual journey also. So a lesson. So you give the word satara, and you say the meaning of satara is to conceal.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
And then he comes with a hadith. Rasulullah says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Man satara Musliman, satara Allah fi dunya wal akhirah."
Yes, Allah.
Whosoever conceals the wrongdoings and faults of a Muslim, then Allah will concede your wrongdoings in this world and in the akhirah.
Allah, Allah.
So myself and Sheikh
Al-Fan, they came for learning letters.
That's right.
They get the vowels as well, they get the meaning as well, and they get some hadith.
Yeah.
Sheikh and Sheikh Al-Fan.
So myself and Sheikh Al-Fan being students of Imam Ismail, and we took the same route.
Ah, yeah. MashaAllah.
Sheikh Irfan had for years the class in Sarri State. He continued the legacy of Imam Ismail. While I was in Sarri State, I had my first adult class in Parkwood Masjid.
MashaAllah.
Where Imam Farid Mani used to be the Imam.
Al-Marhum.
And it was a big class, subhanAllah. You know, people up till now would still remember, subhanAllah.
Also for Arabic reading, for Quranic reading.
Quran reading. And also the ahadith.
MashaAllah.
But Yusuf, what is his surname again? I'll get to the surname. He was the chairman of the masjid. And he was hospitalized in Tigerberg Hospital. So, as you know, Muslims have a lot of visitors. So after the visiting hours, the nurse will come to him and say, why are there a lot of people? You know? Then he would tell them a hadith that we done in the class.
Allahu Akbar.
About how important is the hukuk, the rights of a Muslim.
Over another Muslim.
and we did all, he had it all in a book. You know. And then he would tell the nurses, this is what Islam says.
Allahu
this is
Akbar.
What the Prophet Muhammad says, that you know, it is one of the rights of a Muslim. If he's sick, then we must go visit him.
MashaAllah, beautiful.
So I had class in Bontevil, in Tafelsig, Menenberg, alhamdulillah. So alhamdulillah, that's the barakah of Imam Ismail,
Masha,
who had that himmah, that concern of people must learn the Quran, they must read the Quran. And may Allah grant at our sitting here today, that so many people will be encouraged.
Amen.
Those who can't read, it's not too late to learn to read the Quran. You know, my father at a very late age, started to learn, because as I've said, when I was a young boy, it was so difficult to learn the Quran. But my father, alhamdulillah, I think my father was 55 or 60 years old when he started to read the Quran.
Wow.
And it was so beautiful when he, in his last years, whenever you come to Bua, we call him Bua, whenever you come to Bua's house, Bua will sit in the lounge and busy with the Quran. You know, so that is what we want, you know, people to, the last part of their lives, to be busy with the Quran, you know.
The last part of the lives must be the best part of
best
their
part,
lives.
Best part, yeah.
What happened when Imam Ismail Johnstone got sick? Sheikh mentioned a hemorrhage.
Yeah.
What happened to the classes and the students
So after Imam came out of the hospital, amazingly, Imam still wanted to teach.
Allahu Akbar.
He then opened a class in Belleville South.
Yeah.
After having that operation, you know. But then he was not able to teach us, you know, and then, but even while he was in hospital, he then guided us and directed us to Sheikh Amin Fakir.
MashaAllah.
And to Sheikh Nazim Muhammad, subhanAllah. And his top student, Sheikh Ibrahim Steenkamp, was still alive.
MashaAllah.
So we went to, he lived in Heidefeld, you know, the Fletchers.
Yes, Sheikh.
He sacrificed his small little, you know, out of smaller flats in Heidefeld, you know. We were, myself, Ismail, my brother Ismail, Sheikh Abu Bakr, another neighbor, Mr. Suleiman, opposite us, we were sitting in that class, and that was so meaningful.
This Sheikh Ibrahim Steenkamp was one of the senior students of?
Of Imam Ismail, of the first.
And he's still alive, Sheikh?
He's still alive, yeah. He's still alive. He lives in Portland now.
Wow, MashaAllah.
Yeah.
So Sheikh, had left the work at the insurance company.
Yeah.
Sheikh was full-time by Sheikh Hanif.
Yes.
And then the Saturday evenings were now with other classes with Sheikh Muhammad Amin Fakir.
Saturday afternoon in York Road Masjid.
York Road, Sheikh Muhammad Amin Fakir.
Tafsir also and Fiqh.
And that must have been also, that was Sheikh's first exposure to Sheikh Muhammad Amin Fakir.
That's right,
Sheikh hadn't interacted with him before.
No. I knew Sheikh Amin Fakir. But I mean, and then it came so, Sheikh, that one afternoon after class, Sheikh Amir Fakir asked Sheikh Irfan, did your application came through from were you accepted for Medina? So he said, Sheikh, no, I didn't receive any notification yet. So Sheikh asked me, Ibrahim, why don't you apply? Come apply, Jaini.
Yes, Allah.
I said, Sheikh, can I apply for Medina? He said, yes, of course. I'll write your testimonial.
Yes, Allah.
6 months after that, Sheikh, I received, alhamdulillah.
Yes, Allah.
Qubilt, I've been accepted to Medina.
MashaAllah.
That was most probably the best moment in my life.
Allah.
In my 9 years in Medina to Munawwara was Ahla Ayami.
MashaAllah.
The most joyous and most, the best time of my life, MashaAllah. SubhanAllah.
So we're at that phase now.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we get to Sheikh's journey to Medina, when was Sheikh Nazim's classes?
Sheikh Nazim's classes was also on a Saturday morning. So it all happened on a Saturday.
MashaAllah.
Saturday morning. And then at that time, Sheikh Nazim was teaching many people like Imam Umar.
Abdullah?
Imam Abdullah. Imam, what's it? Imam's name? Yeah. A lot of imams.
Sheikh Hanif Moos
was also in the class of Sheikh Nazim Muhammad.
Where were those classes?
In the house of Sheikh Nazim.
In Weinberg,
yeah.
So Sheikh's relationship with Sheikh Nazim started before Medina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, myself and Sheikh Irfan, is amazingly, when we were young people, people were speaking bad about the ulama of the MCC, and we phoned Sheikh Nazim and said, Sheikh, we're so worried. How can people speak so ugly about the ulama? Can we come and meet Sheikh? So Sheikh said, yeah, I'm here at my in-laws in Woodstock. Sheikh Yusuf Khabir and so. And so we met Sheikh Nazim.
This was even before the classes.
Yeah, that's long before. Before we went
how
to Medina.
How old was Sheikh and Sheikh Irfan bin Morlis?
17, 18.
Yes, Allah. Yeah. And I had a conversation with him. And he was a man of charisma.
Subhanallah.
He was a man that stood out naturally. He had this aura about him.
It was also, even the Cape Herald said, the most best dressed Sheikh in the whole of Cape Town.
And Allah gave him some beautiful height also, so he carried himself beautiful. Allah irham.
Yeah.
But now, so that was the experience. Sheikh, that experience with Sheikh Irfan also calling Sheikh Nazim out of the blue, random young gentleman want to meet, etc.
Yeah.
And then the classes now after Sheikh Imam Ismail Johnstone was not well any longer.
Yeah.
The idea of studying in Medina never crossed Sheikh's heart or mind. Passing.
In passing.
Just in passing with Sheikh Muhammad Amin Qadr
Allah. He just asked me, Ibrahim, why don't you apply? I said, Sheikh, can I apply? Allahu Akbar.
And Sheikh was available to go then. And then Sheikh, who was with Sheikh in that group? Sheikh Irfan was with?
Sheikh Irfan and Sheikh Samuel Pandey from Elizabeth.
Port Elizabeth.
And Sheikh Dawood Davids. Sheikh Umar Davids' brother.
Oh, from Grassy Park?
We were the four accepted that particular year.
MashaAllah.
Yeah. And so Sheikh must also remember that at the same time, after the dream of Imam Ismail.
Of Surah Al-Tur.
Surah Al-Tur. I thought to myself, this is an indication to me that Imam will accept a proposal to his daughter Aisha.
MashaAllah.
That is where,
in Sheikh's mind.
That is my interpretation of the dream. And so my wife was very young.
Okay.
And she was very young. So I also knew that there's a lot of other people interest. So if I'm not going to
say something,
jump the gun or make an effort, then I might lose out. And I don't want to lose out the honor to be the son of Imam Ismail.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. And so my father said, Alhamdulillah, that is now 12:30 the night. Everybody's sleeping at home. I'm walking up and down
the
pieces of the house. Am I going to ask now or not? So I decided, no, let's go. And so I woke my father up and my mother and said, Abi, I'm interested. Can Abi go to Imam? My boy said, Aisha's a very good girl, but she's still young. Wait, ma. So I told Sheikh Irfan. Uh-huh. My father said, I must wait. And Sheikh Irfan said, Sheikh, I'll speak to Imam.
Yes, Allah.
That was the right thing to do. And so the next day, Imam Ismail said to my father, but the Qasim, we need to talk.
Wow.
Now, Imam Ismail, all the people call my father Qasim. You know, in Kirtan was Qasim, but not Imam Ismail. You must say Qasim.
MashaAllah.
Qasim, not Qasim, you know. Not Muhammad Nur, Muhammad Noor. Every name must be
correctly expressed.
Yeah, and so alhamdulillah, so there was an engagement.
MashaAllah.
And so when they came back from Imam's house, my father said, Imam said in a month's time.
Wow.
So there was silence in our lounge.
Yes, salam.
So my one aunt, Antikhava from Cape Town, sit on the table, puta, take them on.
Challenge. We can
take them on. If they say a month.
MashaAllah.
Yeah. So
this was now just before the
just before
Medina.
The application was, but I didn't.
Sent.
I didn't. Yeah.
No response yet.
No response, yeah.
Okay.
So the date was set.
MashaAllah.
For the nikah. And then the application came through. I'm accepted.
Yes, Allah.
So now I'm in a. Yeah, yeah. So my parents went to Imam, said, Imam, Ibrahim has been accepted in Medina.
MashaAllah.
Imam said, no, but we have set the date. Imam was a very, you know, a man of principles.
Man of principle.
Principles,
nah,
yeah,
nah,
yeah. So, luckily, Allah granted Sheikh Muni, Sheikh اسمه اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. اسمه الشيخ منير. He studied in Mecca and he came to visit my father-in-law Imam Ismail. And Imam said, you know, we've got this problem. He said, Imam, my advice would be that Ibrahim go first alone, right? When he come back, then he can have an idea what is happening.
Get
a place to stay for her. Because, no. But if example goes now with her, you know, get married and go, and he's got no idea.
True.
And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right person, you know.
No, alhamdulillah.
So I went.
She got married first?
No, I was engaged.
Oh, engaged. When?
So at the end of 1978, December.
MashaAllah.
Myself and Sheikh Irfan went.
MashaAllah.
So, July coming back, 20th of July, I got married.
MashaAllah.
And then my wife went with me. She stayed with me for 8 years, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
And Allah granted us 5 children.
Whilst
we are there, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. So, Medina. Just those first few, Sheikh had not been to Medina or Mecca before.
No, it was the first time. In fact, Sheikh, when I received my ticket from British Airways in Warsaw, Cape Town, I was too afraid to cross the road.
Afraid that anything happens.
Anything happened and I don't get to Medina.
Allahu Akbar.
The excitement.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah.
In that first period that Sheikh was there, they have a unique system where they have the Shu'ba program for the non-Arabs to acclimatize them to the culture, etc., and to teach them the fundamentals of conversational Arabic before you go into any like formal studies.
That's right, yeah.
The Shu'ba program is generally about 2 years.
Tamam. 2 years, the Shu'ba to Lugha, yeah.
But Sheikh and Sheikh Irfan, who was also Sheikh's colleague by Ibn Ismail, had some tools, had some background, so it must have helped.
That helped a lot, Sheikh.
A lot,
subhanAllah.
Is the way.
So because
people won't understand that you're learning Arabic,
but
you're learning Arabic via Arabic.
That's right, yeah.
The teacher teaching Arabic.
Only speaking
in
Arabic. Yeah, yeah.
So if you don't have at least some background, you're totally lost.
Yeah, totally lost. No. Yeah.
So that helped a lot, alhamdulillah. Yeah. The Shu'ba program was done. Sheikh then went to the formal studies, and Sheikh then was accepted for the which faculty of study in.
So we had a choice. to go from Shu'ba to Lugha to university. But myself and Sheikh Irfan, to strengthen our Arabic more before we get to the college, because the college is universities, high level. So we opted to go to do, like we say in Cape Town, grade 10, grade 11 and 12.
Oh, mashallah.
Mada Thanawi.
That's the higher school, higher academic study.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So that was a very good decision. We had more exposure to the fiqh and to the nahu and all the other subjects.
Excellent.
You know,
just strengthening the foundation.
Yeah.
Before going, so those were 3 years.
Yeah.
After the 2 years
after
at Shu'ba.
After 2 years, yeah.
And Shu'ba was it was primarily focused on the language. The first.
Yeah, years. You do. In fact, at that time. They did the Arabic language through hadith
beautiful.
And fiqh and afterwards they changed it more to conversational Arabic.
Okay, I understand.
But we, our time still, they added old system where they teach you hadith and all this and then you learn words through hadith and through eyes of the Quran and that type
beautiful.
Of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So the 2 years of the Shu'ba, 3 years of the higher academic studies, and then the
Kulia.
4 years of Kuliyah.
Faculty of Sharia, yeah.
MashaAllah, Kuliyah Sharia.
So you have to make a choice between Kuliyah al-Quran, Faculty of Quran, Faculty of Language, Faculty of Hadith, Faculty of Sharia. Sheikh Irfan chose Faculty of Lugha, Arabic language, and I took Sharia, alhamdulillah. And so in the high school, you have to memorize 2 juz. That is compulsory.
Per year,
yeah.
I was going to ask now, in the entire program, besides the Arabic done in Shu'ba, what hifd or memorize, was there any memorization requirement for the high school and for the Sharia? So Sheikh mentioned two juz per year.
So, two juz per year, yeah. So we had to, for the high school, 6 juz.
For the three years.
And for the 4 years in
Kuliyah.
Is also two, so eight juz. Yeah.
So 14 in total.
14 in total.
So for the 7 years, there are mashallah.
Yeah, and so myself and Sheikh Irfan being very close, we travel together, we stay together, even our family stay together. So in the morning, in the bus, in the university bus, so we had a system. If, for example, Surah Al-Shu'ara, because that is one of the surahs that we did in high school.
Wow.
So if I start, then if I make a mistake, then Sheikh Irfan takes on.
Okay.
You know, if I don't make a mistake, I read the whole time up to the university. You know, so it was good. You know, excellent. you don't want to make a mistake. So if excellent. I make a mistake, Sheikh Irfan takes on. Uh-huh. If he makes a mistake, then I take on.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Was Sheikh Abu Bakr Abdul-Auf at the university at that time, or was he done
already? We got him for his last year in at Kulatul Quran.
MashaAllah.
And he was very well known.
MashaAllah.
In fact, Sheikh, wallahi, many students were asked, especially from the West, America and Europe, why is it you South Africans, all of you can read so beautiful?
Allah, Allah.
Yeah, subhanAllah, that's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must thank Allah and thank our forefathers, you know, for the legacy that they've been left behind here in Cape Town, the way people of Cape Town and South Africa can read the Quran.
Alhamdulillah.
So Sheikh Abubakar was well known.
MashaAllah.
Because he, as you know, up till now, he reads so beautifully. No. So even at functions at the university, in the hall, they will ask Sheikh Abubakar to read.
Out of MashaAllah. All the students here,
to
the Sheikh's wife, Mu'allima,
yeah.
Was now there with Sheikh for the 8 years.
Yeah.
And did she have any opportunity to study as well or to learn?
Yeah, so alhamdulillah, so our classes ran up to 1 o'clock, up to dhuhr.
Okay.
So after dhuhr, when I come home, I have my lunch, and then Mu'allima Aisha would go to class.
Oh, alhamdulillah, she had class.
Alhamdulillah. She had different teachers, some from Saudi Arabia, some from Syria.
MashaAllah.
I can share this with the Sheikh and the viewers, that one of the lessons that I would remember, this, especially the Syrian teacher, said to them is, when you make your salah, don't make your salah such in a haste.
Yes, Allah.
Don't read Surah Fatiha. Take your time and say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And you pause, think about it.
Allah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And I would always appreciate that.
Reflect.
Yeah, and reflect that. Yeah, subhanAllah. And so, My wife also did the khifs.
MashaAllah.
Of course, he started with Sheikh Hanif Moos.
As well, yes. Yeah. Being one of the children of Imam Ismail Johnson.
That's right,
yes.
Yeah. So she started with Sheikh Hanif Moos, and then she completed, in fact, she completed until 29th juz in Medina.
Okay,
yeah,
MashaAllah.
So most of the khifs she did it at home, I would listen to her.
MashaAllah.
And she had also teachers listening to her.
And the khifs. Classes or activity for Mu'allima was basically with the Syrian teachers?
Some with the Syrian.
And some with
yeah,
the
but most Sheikh Irfan listened to his wife, Fatima, and I was listening to my wife. Yeah.
MashaAllah.
And Sheikh, amazingly, and I think this I can say, especially with the mothers, my eldest daughter, Halima, both she and my second eldest, Zahra, they were 3 years old when they could read the Quran.
Wow.
So my wife is like Imam Ismail, is a strict teacher.
Mashallah.
Yeah, and she didn't eat them, but she always had a big spoon next to But at the wallahi,
it must just be visible.
At the age of 3 years, wallahi, wow. They could read the Quran.
Mashallah.
3 years old, alhamdulillah. So it just proved that it can
it
be done.
It can be done. It just
can be done, yeah.
Depends on your
dedication,
the amount of time you put in.
Yeah, input, yeah. So mothers must make a lot of time for the children, inshallah.
So yeah. Now, alhamdulillah, Sheikh had the studies completed and the whole experience in Medina.
Yeah.
And graduated, alhamdulillah, and the wife and your return.
Yeah.
And I know Sheikh is back in the area there. Mm. By this time, Imam Ismail Johnstone had passed on already.
No.
Was still alive?
Was still, Imam was waiting for me and Sheikh Irfan
wow.
to come home.
Wow.
But Imam was still holding the fort.
Ya Allah.
In that difficult, you know,
state
of his health. Yeah, understand.
So what happened then? Because I know there was a time when Sheikh yourself and Sheikh Irfan were co-imams at
so,
the
so that's right. Yeah. So they were waiting. Imam was waiting for us, and the people of Sarih State knew that we are coming back. And Sheikh Irfan, being from Sarih State, and me also being from Sarih State, Primrose Park, and also learning. I mean, my first learning, real learning, and motivation, it came from Sarih State Masjid. You know, I was also a young muallim at the madrasa in Sarisid Masjid.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, muadzin first and then muallim and teacher, you know, and also led Salat al-Taraweeh and, you know.
This is all before Medina.
Before Medina, yeah.
MashaAllah.
So myself and Sheikh Irfan, we became imams of Sarisid Masjid, yeah. And then, of course, I heard that they're looking for somebody importance. And funny, whenever I went to Mitzvah Spring, my heart was attracted to this place, Portland. So I would if I'm in Beacon Valley or Tavosek, or I would go to Portland's Masjid and I would just wait for the Salah. And then some of the committee members came to me and said, Sheikh, there's
a post there.
And so I applied. I consulted with my parents. I consulted with Sheikh Nazim Muhammad, then president of the MCC, and all of them, they motivated. Only Sheikh Irfan was very upset.
Shame.
Yeah, he was very upset, yeah. And he said that, Sheikh, okay, I'll give in, but on one condition. If I pass on, you must come back to Sarisid.
Yes, Salaam.
So we make dua for long life for Sheikh Irfan.
Ameen.
Yeah. So, yeah, then Sheikh, I moved to Portland, and I looking back, I think it was a good decision. Alhamdulillah.
No, sure. We also moved to Portland around 84. And I can remember the change that occurred in the entire area when Sheikh started with the imamah at the masjid. It was around
89.
Yes, so I just completed hifz in 87. And then back to school, and then my father and grandfather, when Sheikh Tim started, we would go there every day, and especially look forward to the Maghrib prayer because of the Nasiha after
That's
Maghrib,
right, yeah.
And the Masjid used to be packed,
yeah.
Like a Jumu'ah.
That's right. Yeah.
Week nights,
yeah,
like a Jumu'ah, and it's also Sheikh Allah, may Allah protect you for many good years ahead still, but it's also Allah also granted you. The height and all in the posture, and you used to dress beautifully, and the imam was always there as well, and it's the package, and my grandfather then said, no, where madrasa is concerned, I have to go there in the afternoons, and Sheikh's brother-in-law Abdullah was my first teacher there at the masjid, and used to assist me with the revision, my own revision of the hifz. I can remember up until the last, when my grandfather was ill, he would still want to go for the Jumu'ah at least. And we had to help him, carry him from the house to the car to the masjid out, and he would just be the happiest just to have been there for the Jumu'ah. So it changed everything, and it was a good move, and may Allah accept Sheikh's effort and commitment and service to the community at large. So, but in that time, Sari Estate was approximately, how long was
one
she
year,
there?
One full year.
And then Portland's began.
That's right.
So 88, 89. But Sheikh had a concern regarding the memorization of the Quran still.
Yeah.
Sheikh had completed 14 Jews Day in Medina, and Sheikh wanted to come to do the rest. What then happened?
So I heard that Sheikh Abu Bakr Najjar, rahmatullah alayhi, was the person, if you want to get into the Al-Azhar in Egypt, then you must speak to Sheikh Bakr Najjar. And he was the link.
He was.
So I went to Sheikh Bakr Najjar and said, Sheikh, I would love to complete my hifz in Egypt.
Salam.
So Sheikh said, no. You first complete your hifz here. And then I arrange for you to go to Egypt. I said, Sheikh, but
this was when? This was now Sheikh was Imam at Portland already.
Imam in Portland, yeah. I was already 3 years or 4 years Imam in Portland. But I was very eager to complete my hifz.
MashaAllah.
And so I said, Sheikh, I can't do it here. I'm imam, and you know, and imam was Sheikh was now how busy imam is. He said, no, my kind, my child, listen to me.
Wow.
If you want to complete the Quran, you must dedicate it at least 3 hours per day.
Yes, Allah.
Whether there is janaza, whether there are sick people, that 3 hours belongs to the Quran.
Allahu Akbar.
The janaza can wait, everything can wait, that is your time. So he said to me in Arabic, لو كان حفظ القرآن سهلا لحفظ كل حمار في الشارع. And the translation is, if the memorization of the Quran had to be easy, then every donkey in the city would have memorized.
Yes,
so it's not for every person, it's for dedicated people for the Quran, subhanAllah. So I continue to look for how I can complete. So one day, my wife, there was a certain halal restaurant in Cape Town that my wife liked to, you know, so I took her there. And one of the children, either Muhammad Zainuddin, was with us, you know. So I said to my wife, I'm just going to, I knew at that time that Sheikh Salih Abadi doesn't take any more students. It's finished. Sheikh is retired now. I said to my wife, I'm just going to try, man. I'm just going to go up Long Market Street and ask Sheikh, is it possible?
Allahu Akbar.
Sheikh, I came running out. I hit on the window of my wife, of the car. She said, what's going on? I said, Sheikh, accept it. Sheikh is going to teach me. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. And what a beautiful journey from that day onwards.
Every day
I would leave from Mitchell's Plain to go to Long Market Street from Mondays to Thursdays.
So Sheikh wasn't in Weinberg at the time. Sheikh
no, Sheikh was in Long Market Street, yeah.
Town there.
Town, wow. Yeah, subhanAllah. And Sheikh, it was a beautiful journey. It was just a great honor to be in the presence of Sheikh Salih Abadi. As I speak now, I almost want to cry. and Sheikh was so respectable, you know. For example, if I come in the morning, Sheikh would open the door, Sheikh stop on, and Sheikh is kufiya. But when it comes to time for bacha, Sheikh would put on Sheikh's imamah.
Wulsal.
Yeah, wulsal. Sheikh won't teach me without a wulsal, without the imamah. Subhanallah.
And Sheikh had a method, Sheikh Abadi. Mm. He would recite every ayah for the student.
Yeah.
Was there a different system you had with Sheikh?
No. Because, subhanallah, and I want to say it, Sheikh, and I don't know how to say it, Sheikh had so much respect for others, and especially for people that has learned the deen of Allah, that Sheikh didn't want to use that. I would have preferred Sheikh being so strict with me, like Sheikh has been with Sheikh Fuad Khabir, for example, and Imam Abdurrahman Salih. But of course, Sheikh had so much respect, subhanAllah, for a person that has studied, and especially if you studied in Medina Munawwara, subhanAllah. So Sheikh was very calm with me, you know. I had to learn my makra per day, and I would read to Sheikh.
Wow.
And then Sheikh would read to me, and then the next lesson, and then I would go home.
Oh, so he did recite as well?
Yeah, that's
next
right,
lesson.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And the Sheikh would have to mark stops and starts.
The ripen.
And it must have been a very personal and close relationship that developed.
Very close relationship. I would always notice how Sheikh makes Sheikh Salat al-Duha, 10 raka'ats or 12 raka'ats, and you know.
Daily.
Yeah, and then in between, Sheikh reads softly, but the Walad Dalin comes about out. Walad Dalin. Yeah, subhanAllah.
I was fortunate to travel with Sheikh. Sheikh Salih Abadi on a few occasions. And I also noticed how disciplined he was with himself even. And then I realized that in public there were times when you could be firm and disciplined with others because he was disciplined with himself. No one could point a finger at him.
Everything
that he called towards, he was implementing, and that was outstanding. So Sheikh, alhamdulillah, the journey then, Sheikh was Imam, other activities, commitments. Sheikh was involved with the MJC also already at that time.
But
on a daily basis, Sheikh was going to Sheikh Muhammad Salih Abadi to complete the Hifz. Sheikh managed to complete by him.
I managed to complete the Hifz. And about, say, 6 months or a year after that, Imam Amin, that is in Australia.
Yes.
Imam Amin Ahmed.
Yes.
He was at the AGM, and there was a Khatam al-Quran at one of the masajid. So I was elected as chairman of the MJC. That time I was president and chairman. So Imam Amin came to the Khatam and said, Baruz, Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel is elected as chairman. Sheikh Salih Abadi made it. Ya Allah, ta'akha di Quran.
Yay,
<It's a> Quran. He's not going to have time for the Quran. Subhanallah. Look at the concern, subhanallah. Yeah.
Were there no other students there by Sheikh Abadi in the time when Sheikh was there?
So I would always meet Maulana Asim Qasim.
Okay.
And Hafiz Razin Gopal.
And
because of that, I we have an amazing relationship.
Over the years afterwards. Dr. Razin completed Hifz, I know, by Imam Shams, I think, but I think he went for revision by
revision,
Sheikh Abadi.
He went for the revision, yeah.
And Maulana Asim Qasim was there.
Asim Qasim was also there.
Like so colleagues by the same stuff.
Yeah,
okay, but the experience with Sheikh Saleh Abadi, that was now in the late 80s, early 90s, and over the years, then I can remember also when I returned in 97, and Imam Siraj Willenberg at the Masjid, also a student of Sheikh Saleh Abadi's, and then the Taraweeh with Imam Siraj at the Masjid, and then there were the Sunday Tilawats.
Yeah.
It was, people won't realize now, not only because of the 2 years of COVID, but over the last years, it has lessened to a certain extent the amount of Tilawats. There was a time in the 90s and early 2000s where it was a weekly thing.
Mashallah.
Regular, every Mashallah. Week, different Mashallah. Areas. And I know Portland has an annual,
That's like
what you call it, khatam as well, with all communities involved, and we invite certain of the mashayikh or certain of the groups to come and complete. And there were many occasions when Sheikh Abadi, I sat with him at the masjid there at Portland's completing the khatam Quran. But Sheikh Abadi never had any children of his own. Never had. And he would always, I heard him say on more than one occasion that his students are his children.
That's right,
And for a person who was dealing with Quran, but dealing with people because of Quran all his life, we could see that wisdom it came through, how he dealt with different types of people.
SubhanAllah.
You would think a man of his age and the elderly, sit in their ways and doing things in a particular manner without exception. But he recognized, even though Sheikh was younger than him, he recognized Sheikh had studied, that Sheikh is Imam, and how to handle differently, that you don't get in books, that you learn in character.
Emotional intelligence.
Yes.
And speaking about that Sunday, Sheikh, may Allah grant that is going to be revived in Cape Town. And coming back to our part-time class with Sheikh Hanif Moos.
Yes.
So one of the things that Sheikh Hanif Moos introduced was on a Sunday morning, we would read the ajazah that we have memorized. Like at that time, we memorized the first juz and the second juz and the 28th juz, Qadasami Allah.
Okay.
So I must admit, Sheikh, because of the barakah of every Sunday going to different... So. One week at our family's house, and then to, for example, Butanasim Williams, his daughter, Imam Shafiq's wife, Fadia,
mashallah,
their house.
Yes, Harith's father, Imam Nasim.
So I must admit, Sheikh, and the reason why I'm saying that because we've got this program so that people can benefit.
Yes,
I must admit that my best ajazah that I remember is the first juz, second juz,
and the 28th juz.
28 juz. Because of that repetition, because we had to, you had to be ready. For example, if this Sunday we're going to read the first two juz. Sheikh Hanif is not going to say you're going to read the second makra.
Like prepare before the time.
Yeah.
You must know everything.
You must know everything. Yeah, understand?
And you recite in your turn.
That's right, yeah. SubhanAllah.
It was an outstanding practice.
outstanding. And of course, there was everybody gave a nice lunch also. So it was liquor for the young people.
Barakat also.
Yeah. So I think these are very important initiatives or practices, you know, and especially in today's time for our children, because there are so many challenges, cell phones and other technologies. So these type of practices would do them very good. You know?
Looking for alternatives as
That's
well.
That's right,
The Hifz classes that I managed to start, started in Sheikh's Masjid, and it started in 97. Last year was the 25th year.
MashaAllah.
Quarter century, I can't believe it, Sheikh.
SubhanAllah.
And Sheikh and the committee at the time opened the doors with open arms and open hearts, and lots came from the Sheikh's son, Sheikh mentioned earlier, Zainuddin, who's currently studying in Yemen, managed to complete at the institution. And Sheikh's, is Abdul Basit the youngest son?
Abdul Basit the youngest son.
And he's Dr. Abdul Basit now.
He's a medical doctor now,
mashallah. And he also managed to complete, alhamdulillah. And Sheikh's eldest son, Sheikh Abdullah, also learned there, but he graduated now in Al-Azhar recently.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah accept them and all the other children for the khidmah of deen and service of Quran, and make them even greater means of honor for yourself and Ma'alima Aisha in this dunya and akhirah. The program is focused on the Quran and our relationship with the Quran, scholars and reciters and teachers. Sheikh has so many other hats that Sheikh has worn over the years, which we would require some independent
program
or discussions interview. From. Allah bless. But it's important that viewers see, along with noticing Sheikh or knowing Sheikh from the presidents of the MJC and whatever other position in the MJC or in the community or as Imam in Portland's Masjid, and lecturing in different places and teaching in different places, but also to know that the foundation is the Holy Quran and the love for the Holy Quran and sacrifice for the Holy Quran. Scholars have come and spoken and they said whatever they've experienced in life, they could see that Allah's favor was such that because of attachment to the Quran, doors were open that they did not expect. Interacting with individuals that they had only heard of and individuals that then left marks in their lives because of the Quran. The Sheikh Nazim al-Marhum had a huge impact on Sheikh's life. But and Sheikh's interaction with him was also because of tafsir classes and that's Quran. Likewise, Imam Ismail, likewise Sheikh Amin Fakir and all the others, Ya Rabbi. So we have to return to Quran. If Sheikh were to dig into Sheikh's heart as an overall advice for the Muslim community in general, not specifically for people who are currently students of Quran, but for them and for the general public, what would Sheikh love to share with the viewers?
Sheikh Ismail, I think that's a very pertinent and important question or topic to discuss, because this ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad is the greatest ummah.
Ya Rab.
And I feel that this ummah has taken a slight dip down. And the reason why we've taken a dip is because generally the Muslims have neglected the Quran. And this ummah is going to rise again. But they're only going to rise again if we come back to the Quran.
No.
So our advice to everybody is to make time for the Quran. Allah's not asking us, أَفَلَا يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't they read the Quran? Because you're supposed to read the Quran. Allah's asking, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't people make special time to ponder over the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A Muslim, you can't live without the Quran. You know, son. This is the most probably the greatest ni'mah that Allah has granted us, you know, to be the ummah of the Quran. Imagine if you read the Quran, you are reading the words of Allah.
Ya Rab.
What an honor to read the words of Allah. What an honor to have the whole Quran or all the words of Allah in your chest, subhanallah. I don't think there is a greater honor in the world than to memorize the Holy Quran, subhanallah. Yeah. So the Nabi Muhammad made it clear, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ahlul Quran wa Ahlullah, the people of the Quran, they are the family. Allah's got no family, but Allah considers the people of the Quran that they are the family of Allah. And not only the family of Allah, they are the most special people.
Yeah.
And they're not only going to be the most special year in this world, they're going to be the most special in the Akhirah. So our motivation is really for the sake of Allah and for the sake of the Ummah and for the sake of humanity, that each and every Muslim must make time for the Quran. You know, there are many challenges, there are a lot of distractions, but we must realize that our success lies with the Holy Quran, subhanallah. Our respect for the Quran, my beloved mother, she was about 3 years old when her mother died.
Ya Rab.
And so a grandmother, took charge of her. And she called her grandmother Mema. So Mema, I'm just giving an idea of how people, they didn't have much knowledge, but the respect they had for Quran. So when my Mema comes to Janaza, and people read the Quran, and other people are talking, she would say, "Can yala nila mono? Can't you keep quiet? Can't you listen to the Quran?
Ya Rab.
Why didn't you stay at home?
Ya Rab."
So that is the honor and the respect that we must have for the Quran, subhanallah. And once a person gives honor and respect to the Quran, then Allah subhanahu will elevate you, subhanallah. So our motivation for all our viewers and all our brothers and sisters is, please make time for the Quran. That will be your success. And sitting with Sheikh Salih Abadin, I've heard so many times that even the people, even those people that were always with the Hafiz Jamaat, every Sunday they would go with
pick them up, give the venue,
go fetch them. Sheikh Salih Abadi's the hour was always motivation was that inshallah Allah would elevate the Ahlul Quran, but those people were always accompanying, Allah will inshallah elevate them also in the Akhirah.
Ya Rabbi, Ameen. Jazakallah khairan for that, Sheikh. Sheikh mentioned Sheikh's mother, Marhuma, and I just got a flashback of Sheikh's father. Mm. There was a time when teaching in Portland and the students reached a certain amount of work, where we also had some sleepovers at the masjid and recite extra, or we would revise at certain of the students' homes. And I remember when it was at Sheikh's place or at Haji Ismail's place, Sheikh's father made a point of being there, and he would be there early, and he would be reciting with, and he would be listening with, and I can remember the joy on his face just to be part of that gathering. They truly loved the word of Allah.
Loved the Quran, So, and so my father also did part-time khifz with Sheikh Hanif Moos.
Wow.
And would travel from Primrose Park to Wynberg.
Wow.
And then every night my father and mother would read Surah Hadid.
Allahu Akbar.
And then my father would say to Sheikh Hanif, Sheikh, how come this surah so swa? So Sheikh Hanif said, why is it so difficult and heavy? So Sheikh Hanif said, because it's hadith.
It's Easter.
It's iron, it's Easter. Yeah, subhanAllah. And speaking about the mother again, my mother also loved the Quran, subhanAllah. My mother always tell us that she taught my father Surah Yasin. My father couldn't bacha. Afterwards, she could bacha, but alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
And I didn't know until recently. And that is one, okay, once again, I'm speaking now to the mothers and our young sisters, the dua of a mother. My mother was on Hajj 1968.
Wow.
I was 13 years old. My mother asked, I don't know if Sheikh knows Titi Patel, here from Kensington.
Nice.
Their mother. So my mother went on Hajj with the Patel family.
Okay.
You know, Maulana Abdul Khaliq's father-in-law.
Okay, yes. So the Khadija was the Patel, yes.
And Maulana Khadija's grandmother.
Okay.
So on Arafah, my mother asked, Mama, I would love some of my children to become scholars of deen.
Wow.
What a dua. What dua must I make?
Wow.
And she most probably made that dua on the day of Arafah.
Yes, Allah.
So I'm just saying again, you know, the dua of a mother, subhanAllah.
And the concern for the children that they must have deen
they
beyond
have
anything
deen,
else.
Yeah, on the day of Arafah and dua of Arafah, subhanAllah. And we are also thinking about the mother of Imam Bukhari.
Allah.
He being blind, and Allah, she made dua, Ya Allah, please grant my, subhanAllah. And she saw Nabi Ibrahim, Allah granted her to see Nabi Ibrahim in the dream.
Yes,
sir. And Nabi Ibrahim said, Allah has granted your child, he's able to see now.
To see,
and he became the greatest muhaddith.
One of a kind.
The barakah of the dua of a mother. That's my emphasis, the barakah of the dua of a mother. So mothers, make dua for your children. Allah must grant him to love the Quran. Grant, ask Allah, Ya Allah, at least one of my children, grant him to become Hafiz the Quran. One of my great motivations, Mawlana, when I started Khifz, my mother said, Alhamdulillah, now Allah is also going to crown me the day of Qiyamah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
And I heard also from Dr. Ayman, one of the great Qura of our time. One of his great motivations, why he wanted to become Hafiz al-Quran, because he heard the hadith of Rasulullah that Allah is going to honor and crown the parents of the day of Qiyamah. That was his greatest motivation.
MashaAllah.
And look at today, Dr. Iman is one of the great Khuffat and Qura of the world today. SubhanAllah.
Sheikh is referring to Dr. Ayman Rushdi Suwaid,
a
Syrian scholar, but he is currently based in Jeddah, known for his in-depth research, and he's an authority really in Qiraat and Tajweed al-Quran. MashaAllah. Tayyib, Sheikh, on that note, we would love if Sheikh could oblige us
inshallah
with the recitation of some ayat of the Quran. Any ayat, and then conclude with a dua, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين صدق الله العظيم.
أحسنتم جزاكم الله وصدق رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
So just before the dua, Sheikh, we have made it our theme in Portland's Masjid this year. Our theme for this is ثم استقاموا. And then they lived a life of complete obedience to Allah. Because in these ayah that I've just read, Allah promises us that if we live a complete life of submission to Allah and obedience, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ at the time of our death,
Ya Rab.
Allah will send Malaika
Ya Rab.
To tell us, لَا تَخَافُوا, don't fear,
Allah.
وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't grieve, don't Ya be Rab. Sad, وَأَبَشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ
Ya Rab.
Allah sent us to tell you, you are going to Jannah.
Ya,
that is because of ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Live a life of complete obedience to Allah. Subhanallah. May Allah grant us a life of complete submission and obedience
Ameen,
to Allah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khair.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaneen. Sayyidina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم نور قلوبنا بنور القرآن وزين أخلاقنا بزينة القرآن ونجنا من النار بشفاعة القرآن وأدخلنا الجنة يا الله بكرامة القرآن اللهم اجعلنا يا الله من أهل القرآن الذين هم أهلك وخاصتك يا مولانا يا رب العالمين اللهم يا الله يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا وقلوب أولادنا وقلوب المسلمين على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا وقلوب أولادنا وقلوب المسلمين على طاعتك يا رب العالمين ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد آل سيدنا محمد وأصحاب وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين
آمين رب العالمين On that note we say شكرا كثيرا and جزاكم الله خيرا to Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel for once again affording us this opportunity we benefited a lot and شكرا for allowing us in a bit into Sheikh's life or one aspect of Sheikh's life And I hope it has inspired at least one or many of our viewers. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And we make dua that Allah accepts all the service Sheikh does for the community and that which Sheikh's wife, Malima Aisha, and the family, the sons, the daughters, all do for the community. And that we all become deserving of the Quran's intercession in Allah's court in the Akhirah. Ameen Rabbil Alameen.
Barakallahu fikum.
Shukran again, Sheikh. Jazakumullah khairan. And on that note, we say shukran to all our viewers. Join us again in our next session. Of the Quran and its people. Looking forward to having you with us. Keep well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The world is a tough place, and every day we are tested in many ways. But when we have faith and when we believe, it gives us the hope and the courage to carry on. So believe that you can make a difference. Believe there is a better tomorrow. Believe it's possible. Pay your zakah and let's build a better tomorrow.